Subscribe to TalkLoud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TalkLoud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to TalkLoud Radio, sports, nerds and pop culture.
Go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
I mean, they were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome to today's episode. This is GoingForTwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by TalkLoud Radio, of course. I am your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. All right, guys, we have a great show as usual today. We're going to have coming on the show, of course, Shane, a.k.a. The Jinx, a.k.a. Nostra Dumbass, who's actually been pretty good lately. He's had 2 weeks in a row that he did not have a losing week. Has worked himself back up to 500 for the season. He went 3-3 this past weekend, so he's been pretty decent with his picks lately. We'll keep him on the show and see if he can keep up his hot streak there. He's also, guys, giving out NBA DFS lineups for preseason right now. If you follow him on Twitter, that's at DFShane26. So basically it's DFS and then H-A-N-E and the number 26. You can follow him. He's giving out lineups for the NBA. He'll probably continue that into the regular season. I've used his lineups a few times and they've been pretty good. So give him a follow. He's a bit of a jinx, but sometimes he can do some good things on DFS. So check that out. And then we're going to have a bit of a treat at the end of the podcast. Usually we have Gerson come on. We talk DFS. Well, this time we're actually going to have Jason and Gerson. They're twin brothers. They both play DFS. They actually covered for the show last week, if you didn't catch it. They actually covered my part of the show. Jason guest hosted, and Gerson came on and talked some DFS. They know their stuff, guys. They do this for, you know, pretty much every day of their life. I think they play every sport, baseball, football, basketball. But their main sport is NFL, so we're going to bring them on the show and get some thoughts there. It'd be nice to have the three of us on there just to get some different ideas, sort of talk about some ideas that we all have on who we're playing in our lamps this weekend. All right, so without any further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into Shane's segment.
He goes by many names. The Jinx, the Curse, the Kiss of Death. His predictions aren't always wrong, but they are never right. GoingForTwo.com presents, from the TalkLoud Radio Studios, Nostra Dumbass and the Worst Predictions Ever.
All right, guys, we are here with Shane, a.k.a. The Jinx, a.k.a. Nostra Dumbass. Of course, he comes to us weekly, gives us his game picks, which are supposed to be terrible, but over the last 2 weeks haven't been so terrible. He actually went 3-3 last week, and he went 4-2 the week before. He's feeling a little under the weather this week, so this may be a little bit shorter than normal. And we're also going to be avoiding the Sunday and Monday night games. We typically do those games, but this week's games on the two primetime games are pretty awful, so we're going to avoid those two games. So we'll just concentrate on all the Sunday games. Shane, how you doing tonight?
How you doing, Jeff? Yeah, man, I could be feeling better, but the sudden weather change here in the DMV area is no joke, man. So I'm a little clogged up sinus-wise, but yeah, going back to my record, man, it looks like I'm batting 500. And last time I checked in the MLB, that's a good record to have, so a good percentage there. So I'm pretty happy with myself.
Yep, so far through 5 weeks, you are 12 up and 12 down, so good stuff there for the Jinx. So maybe you're not such a Jinx after all. Your Redskins won again after you picked them to win. So that's 2 weeks in a row that you picked them and they still got the victory. So kudos to you. Let's go ahead and jump into the first game on the slate here. We're going to go with the very disappointing Panthers versus the equally disappointing Saints. I put this game up here just because I think it'll be an interesting game to watch.
The Panthers, of course, defensively have been struggling, especially in, through the pass. And the Saints, you know, they're pretty much, they don't have a defense. They might as well just put nobody out there on defense because they're awful. So this game could be really an offensive game. They're playing in New Orleans, so we should get the good Drew Brees. What do you think of this game?
Well, it's probably, it's going to be a sloppy game, that's for sure. This division is just a joke. You know, with that win with Tampa Bay over Carolina, it's like I'm looking at two teams who I think have no chance at all of making the playoffs whatsoever. If you ask me, I think the Falcons will probably be the first team to clinch a playoff berth the way they're playing, and with how badly these NFC South teams are playing. It always seems like every year there's that one division that's just so terrible. I mean, it's been the NFC East for a long time. I remember it was the NFC West out there with the 7-9 team making the playoffs. I can't remember if it was the Rams or the Seahawks. It was one of the
Seahawks. Yeah, it was the Seahawks.
There you go. It just always seems like every year there's that one division who's terrible. And I didn't think the NFC South would be that bad, but I really didn't expect this out of the Panthers. I mean, this is just, and you said the stat last year with the team that loses the Super Bowl never really does well the season after. But wow, I never thought it would be this bad. And I just laughed because the Panthers had every chance to beat the Bucks. I mean, I think they were down in like the 2 yard line, and they throw a pass play after Artis Payne had like what, 3 touchdowns on the night. They end up throwing a pass play in the end zone.
Awful.
for an interception touchback. What a joke. So if you ask me, I haven't heard the word on Cam. I think both of these teams are absolute trash right now. I think both defenses are absolute trash, probably the two worst in the league. If Cam does not play.
I think Cam was cleared to play this week.
Okay, he is cleared to play. It will be eager to see how he comes back. Any blow to the head is never a good thing. But it looks like to me this might be a battle of the quarterbacks. Both of these guys are great quarterbacks, probably future Hall of Famers. It's hard to say that about Cam now. But the way he's been playing, obviously he could be. Obviously, Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. I think this game might come down to just both quarterbacks. They each have a weak defense to feast on. This might be a high-scoring affair. But if Cam is back, I don't see any reason for the – and I keep saying this every week, eating my words. But I really can't see any reason for the Panthers to lose this game. And I think one player that steps out, in all honesty, is Greg Olsen. He had an amazing game. He had an amazing game versus the Bucks. I think he can really attack the Saints defense down the seam. And if Cam does play and he's, you know, at 100%, which, you know, hopefully he is, I think you're going to see him expose the Saints defense. He just needs to get together. I'm not giving up on these Panthers yet, but I've never seen a team start this bad. It's crazy to me, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think this game could come down to whoever has the ball last. Like, whoever has the ball in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes to go, they're going to win. Because I don't think the Panthers can stop the Saints. I don't think the Saints stop the Panthers. So I think whoever has the ball last will actually pull this game out. I think it will come down to the fourth quarter. So what you got for the score of this game? Who are you picking?
I'm going to go Panthers 28-14.
All right, Panthers 28-14. I think... My weeks of picking the Panthers ended last week. I picked the Panthers again, and once again, they burned me. So I think I'm actually going to pick the Saints in this one. It's a division game. You never know what to expect with a division game. You can always get, you know, the exact opposite of what you think is going to happen. So who knows? This game could be like a 14-10 game or something. But I expect it to be very high scoring, and I think the Saints being at home gives them a bit of an advantage. So I'm going to go with the Saints with a 3-point victory, something sort of in the range of like, let's say 31-28, something like that. I think it'll be pretty high scoring. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints this week. All right, let's move out to an AFC game here. This one has a little bit more playoff implications, at least for the Bengals. They hope they have some playoff implications. We're looking at the Bengals, who looked pretty much pitiful against the Dallas Cowboys. You called it. They haven't won a game in Dallas since like 1984 or something ridiculous like that. They're on the road again this week. They're not a very good road team, and they're going to probably play in one of the worst or best places to play. And I guess if you're a Patriots fan, they're playing the Patriots this week. what you think of this game?
Well, there's only one thing to say, Jeff, and the GOAT is back. The GOAT has returned. Tom Brady's back, man, and that's all there is to say. You know, this guy came back, and I know it's the Browns, but, I mean, what are the Bengals this year, in all honesty? Bengals are just not having a great year. You know, Dalton's got like a 67.4 completion percentage. He has those five touchdowns, only two interceptions, but AJ Green's just not getting involved in that offense. And I just don't think that offense will be on pace to compete with Tom Brady. I mean, Brady's coming off a 400-yard game, three touchdowns, all three touchdowns to the best GPP pick of the weekend, Martellius Bennett. I figured he missed his old friend Gronkowski, and you know, Gronk still had a great game, but you know, I checked my FanDuel last week, and I'm like, all right, I'm picking Brady, I'm gonna pick Edelman and Gronkowski, because obviously Brady's gonna come back pissed off at the NFL. He's gonna have a great game, which he did, and I was like, what two better targets? And I thought about Chris Hogan, that would have been a good GPP pick as well. But then I saw the three touchdowns. I'm like, wait, who did he throw it to? And then Martellius Bennett stole all three of those. And I don't think anyone saw that coming. But I think you're going to see a little bit of the same. I think Tom Brady is back with vengeance. I still think the Patriots are the best team in the league right now, especially with Brady back. I mean, they did so well without him. You know, now that he's back, I don't think any defense is going to be able to stop this team. I think they're on full cylinders. And I actually got this game a blowout. I think the Bengals are on a downward spiral. I think they'll go to 2-4. I got this one 35-17 Patriots. I got Brady having another big game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that the Patriots definitely get this victory. Bengals traditionally have not been a good road team, and I think they just lost too many pieces. I mean, they lost Marvin Jones. They lost Mohamed Sanu. Tyler Eifert hasn't played all year. Now Jeremy Hill may not play this next game because of an injury. So they're just too depleted, and they're just not that good, full strength that they can actually go into a Foxborough and get a victory with, you know, being less than full strength. So I think the Patriots do pull this one out. I just want to give myself a quick pat on the back, though, because you said you don't know who had that Martellus Bennett call. Actually, I wrote an article for Fantasy Pros. It was for DraftKings, actually, not for FanDuel. But I actually called that exact situation. I said that the Patriots would use Gronk more as a decoy, which he wasn't a decoy. I didn't know how healthy he was, but I thought they'd put Gronkowski out there and would get single coverage on Martellus Bennett, and he'd get all the touchdowns. I think I predicted him to get two touchdowns, not three, but so a little pat on the back for me for calling that Martellus Bennett thing. Unfortunately, I called that and then didn't even play him in my lineup, so I was pretty pissed about that.
Hey, man, yeah, kudos to you, buddy. I saw that you got like number three, I want to say, and there was an article about going for two being like the third best advice for a fantasy weekend of all the other DFF sites. So yeah. I just want to give you kudos on that.
Appreciate that. Yeah, it's actually dailyoverlay.com. If you guys want to check that out, they do some pretty cool stuff there. They actually have about, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 different experts that they kind of take all their picks. And then they actually create a consensus pick, with all the, all the groups put together. So before the game start, you can go there and see what the consensus picks are for all the experts. And then they actually grade them after the games are finished. And, you know, apply a score. You get either A plus, A, B plus, B, you know, depending on how your picks went. And they give you an overall score. And I actually ranked third among all the experts in week five. So I was pretty happy about that. All right. So we got a little off the rails there. So we got the Patriots. Both got the Patriots winning that game. The next game we got here are the very surprising Falcons. I didn't think they'd go to Denver and actually get that victory. Which they actually did, so that was very surprising. But then they go into probably the next worst place to play on the road, and that's in Seattle against the Seahawks coming off a bye week. They went to the bye week. They hopefully got healthy. I know Russell Wilson was a little banged up going into the bye week. The Seahawks have been sort of hit or miss this season, but they seem to hit their stride the week before the bye week against the Jets. They look amazing on the road. They come home now, and they get the very surprising Falcons. How do you see this game going?
Well, this will be fun to watch because you got the Seahawks former, I want to say, defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, coaching the Falcons now. So this will be interesting to watch as he plays his rival team. But you also got the number one ranked offense versus the number one ranked defense now. You know, the Seahawks, they're not surprising me that they're 3-1. They started off a little slow last year. They seem like they're picking it up now. And I want to say we've seen the Falcons do this before as well, get off to this kind of great start. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, but they started off like this as well, and then they came back down to earth.
Yeah, it was last year. They went 5-0 last year to start the season.
Yeah, there you go. So I see this being a good game. I think the Falcons, I mean, we can't discredit them. You know, they have the run game. They got the full package with the run game. They got the passing game going with Julio there. Freeman's having a great year. And then, you know, they got Coleman to come in and back him up. So this will be the true test. I think if the Falcons can get past this defense, I think that'll say a lot about them. And then they're for real. But I got Seattle winning this one, to be honest with you. This is the same Seahawks we saw last year. Started off a little slow, and then they came out of nowhere. You know, it just turned into such a great team that they are. And I think, I believe in Pete Carroll as well. I mean, this is a Super Bowl winning coach, been to Super Bowl a few times now. I think they're going to, you know, review the film. They're going to have something drawn up for Matt Ryan. You know, and of course, I always say this, I think Matt Ryan is probably one of the best regular season quarterbacks out there. He's never the same quarterback in the playoffs. I mean, but this isn't the playoffs, but, I think they are going to play that playoff caliber Seahawk team. I just think this will be a full-fledged battle. I got it being close, but I got the Seahawks 24-21. This might come down to like a game-winning field goal. It's going to be a great match, probably the best game to watch on the slate.
Yeah, I agree. I think this will be an awesome game to watch as well. And the Falcons, I think I might give the Falcons a little bit of an edge if they were playing in Atlanta, but because they're in Seattle, it's one of the worst places, one of the hardest places to play.
The 12th man.
The 12th man, exactly. I know firsthand, you know, as a 49er fan, how hard it is to go up to Seattle and get a victory. Matt Ryan has surprised me. I actually was down on him coming into the season, and then I knew this part of the schedule was going to be tough for him with, you know, playing Denver last week. He has Seattle this week, and then next week he has the believe he has Arizona Cardinals. I forget who he has. He's got another really good defense next week. But you know, he went to Denver and they did just enough to beat Denver, and I think he's going into Seattle this week, though. I think Seattle coming off that bye, getting fully healthy. I don't see Matt Ryan doing what he did to Denver. I think Seattle is going to have an answer for him. I think you're right. I think Seattle edges this one out. I think it'll be closer than people expect it to be. I do think the Falcons are a better team than they were last year. I mean, they're doing this without Julio Jones, you know, other than his one big game. You know, he hasn't really had a great season so far. So I think Matt Ryan and they go up there and they get the L, but I think they have a good showing in this game. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next game. We're going to go ahead and throw your game in here. You know, we do it every week just to see what you think of your team. We got the Philadelphia Eagles, who end up getting their first loss last week against the Detroit Lions, coming to your Washington Redskins this week. What you got for this game?
You know, last week was pretty crazy to me because I look at the Redskins game and I still don't understand why Baltimore just didn't run the ball at the middle. That's obviously, and I'm a Redskins fan, but that's obviously how you beat this team. You know, they're 27th in run defense this year. Or no, I'm sorry, they're 27th in total defense. They are 25th in run defense, obviously one of the worst in the league. And they kind of went away from that.
I think Terrence West actually averaged like 9 yards per carry. I don't know why they didn't keep giving him the ball.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And in all honesty, I mean, obviously that's how you beat my Redskins. You just got to run the ball all over us. From what I saw, you know, Terrence Knighton, a.k.a. Pot Roast, looks to be he might be passing this physical. We might be picking him up later on this week because we need something to fill that hole in the middle. He plays well with Baker. I honestly, reasons disclosed, I don't know why, but I honestly don't know why he's on the team already. I mean, we can't get any worse on that defensive line. We need something up front right there. You know, and it's eager to see what Philadelphia does. I honestly think this will be the one game that will the winner will decide whether Philadelphia has a bad or good game. I just can't see the Redskins deciding this game. I know that sounds really weird, but I got Philadelphia being a much better team this game. One thing that really concerns me, too, is I don't know if you heard or not, but Jordan Reed has suffered his 7th career concussion.
Yep.
And the NFL standard is 5. 5 concussions is like when you're thinking about retirement. He's on number 7 now. I love Jordan Reed. I think he's one of our, if not the most explosive player on our offense. But I think your health comes first, your family comes first, and I think it might be time to hang up the cleats. If he keeps playing football at this rate, he's not going to live a very old age, and he's going to have health issues. He might be the next Will Smith in that concussion movie if they have a sequel coming out, and that's nothing to joke about. But in all seriousness, man, he needs to really think about things, and I would hate to see him go. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be on concussion protocol this weekend if he does play. But it's eager to see what Philadelphia does. I mean, they believe in Wentz, and I think if they keep the ball in his hands and they show maybe a 60-65% pass rate to run rate, Redskins might have a chance. I think I want to say the Redskins have allowed 9 total second half points in 3 games right now. So whatever Joe Barry is doing at halftime, I hope he does it the whole game. So their defense is stepping up. They just can't play 4 quarters. So, you know, I think the Redskins have a chance, and I love my Skins. But we've won 3 in a row. I'm a realistic sports fan here in D.C., and I think we might slip on this one. I got the Eagles beating us.
I got a
24-14.
That was surprising. I was actually filling out the sheet here with your picks, and I was just writing the Redskins in there, figuring you're going to take the Redskins. So,
and Jeff, it's funny because in all honesty, I think I would have taken the Redskins, but just a lot of injuries, man. And that article with Reed really concerned me. He's a huge part of our offense right now. I mean, every time Kirk checks down, it's to Reed. And the Eagles defense is no joke. I think this might be a challenge this week. And I think if you look at our games that we've won, 2 of them were on the road. So just a little discomforting how we are at home right now. But I'm sorry. We beat the Browns at home. We beat the Ravens at home. And then I can't even think of who do we beat week 2. It's just slipping my mind. But the Giants. I'm sorry. I'm Giants. But we beat them in New York. But yeah, it's just kind of discomforting to me, you know, how this team plays at home. It always has been. So, yeah, I got the Eagles in this one. I got it 24-14.
24-14. All right. I'm actually going with the Eagles here as well. I just think, you know, the Eagles could have won that game last week. I think, you know, I do think the Eagles were exposed a little bit. You know, Detroit in that first half were, like, putting up points like it was nothing against the Eagles' defense. They turned it around in the second half, but I think the Redskins missing Jordan Reed is going to be a huge piece. I mean, he doesn't have that safety blanket, and you know he's got you know some decent tight ends that can come in and fill that spot with Vernon Davis, and I think Nyles Paul is still there. You know, pretty good athletes at the tight end position, but they're not Jordan Reed. So I think the Redskins are going to miss him too much, and I do think the Eagles go in there and get the victory. It'll be close because it's a division game, so I'm thinking somewhere like 21-17, something in that range.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Jeff.
All right, now let's go out to another AFC game here. This is another division game. We've got the Chiefs coming off a bye week, who didn't look very good in their last outing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They pretty much got blown off the field against the very surprising Raiders, who've come up clutch in a bunch of games here. I think they, you know, of all their victories, I think they've all come down to the last possession of the game. You know, they could have won or lost on the last possession, and they've managed to pull them out. So I think the Raiders there got some pretty good stuff going on with them. It's in Oakland, so we got the Chiefs going to Oakland to play the Raiders. What you got for this game?
I think this will be a close game. You know, the Raiders are firing all cylinders right now with that third straight victory over the Chargers. I called it in the beginning of the year. I really believe in this offense with Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Obviously, Carr eclipsed over 300 yards last week as well. He threw a couple of touchdowns. And you know, not to mention their defense forced 4 turnovers. That rookie Carl Joseph, I was looking into him for our dynasty league, or not our dynasty league, but I was looking at him as like, you know, a huge pivot to picking the Raiders on FanDuel and even picking the Raiders in our dynasty league for their defense. You know, they got a lot of young studs with him and Sean Smith back there as well. I think he got his second interception on the year. But that whole defense, all they do is force turnovers. And I'm not the biggest fan ever of Alex Smith. I'm just not a fan of the Chiefs. I'll just be honest with you. You know, Chiefs lead the regular season battle 58 wins to 51 losses. I got, in all honesty, I got faith in the Raiders this year. I believe in them. I remember I originally said I didn't think they'd do that well. I predicted, I think, 7-9 on this team, but they've really showed me something. I know this team can score. I got the Raiders winning this one, in all honesty with you. I think this will, I guess you can consider this one almost an upset. I think the Chiefs are the superior team, but I got this one. I got this one actually a high scoring affair. I'm going to go, this will be a 42-35 game. Wow. I got this being a shootout.
Wow, that's definitely a shootout there. I think I'm going the opposite way. I think I'm going with the Chiefs. I think there's some stat out there, Andy Reid coming out of a bye week. I believe he only lost one game in his entire career, something crazy like that. And they are coming off a bye week. They're going to Oakland, which, you know, is a tough place to play. But if you look at Alex Smith's history in Oakland, he's actually done really well, even going back to his days as a 49er. So I think he's not afraid to go into the quote-unquote black hole of, you know, of Oakland to get a victory. The Raiders' defense, you know, is good as they could be with their young talent. Haven't shown it on the field yet. I think they're near the bottom as far as allowing passing yards. And Alex Smith isn't the greatest quarterback in the world, but he is very efficient, and he, you know, won't turn the ball over. And I think if the Raiders are unable to get any turnovers, that, you know, that puts their offense, you know, having to drive 80 yards each time, I think the Kansas City Chiefs will actually be able to hold the ball longer and keep that powerful offense off the field. I think it'll be a little lower scoring. I do think that the Chiefs want to control the ball and sort of keep the Raiders off the field. So I think they keep the game a little bit lower scoring. I'm looking at like a 28-21 game. Maybe even, you know, come down to a field goal with, you know, the Chiefs kicker kicking the winning field goal. So I'm taking the Chiefs in this one on the road.
Yeah, Rich Gannon and Kevin Harlan are commentating this game. So if you want to go down narrative street, Rich Gannon might bring a little bit of magic back to this Raiders team.
Yes, of course, his days are back in the Raiders and going to the Super Bowl. Of course, he didn't bring too much luck when they got blown out by Tampa Bay, but they weren't expected to do anything. They're a bunch of old guys. So,
Well, hey, Tampa Bay had Chucky. That's all you need to know.
All right, so now we got the last game on the slate here. We got this is a very surprising Dallas Cowboys with, of course, the two rookies, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, sort of tearing the league up. We got the whole, you know, controversy now. Is this Romo's team still, or is this Dak Prescott's team? I guess we won't find the answer to that question until Romo's officially able to come back. Then we have the Packers, who are winning right now. It's just not how we all expected them to win. They've been struggling a little bit. You know, I thought they would put up more points last week. They didn't. They are 3-1. So what you got for this game?
I mean, I think it was a few podcasts ago, Jeff, when I gave you my Ezekiel Elliott spiel about how I heard him on that interview, and he said the light bulb in his head is shining bright. He's got the NFL figured out. I feel like ever since I said that, man, he's been on a tear. The kid's good. And it's funny now that I have to look at these matchups that the Cowboys are in, and I honestly have to look at the opposing team's defense, because in all honesty, I'm not in this game. I don't think you look at how good Aaron Rodgers is. You know, a lot of people are saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now, which I won't agree with. I think Tom Brady's probably going to be the best, but I got to look at these games that the Cowboys are playing, and I have to look at that opposing team's defense, because I really think that Prescott and Ezekiel are the most explosive players in the NFL right now of any team. I mean, the Cowboys are on a tear. And I know a lot of Cowboy fans out there. Some agree, some disagree. When Romo gets back, if you want to start Romo, I'm sorry, but you go with the quarterback that's winning you games. When Drew Bledsoe went out and they brought in Tom Brady, tear. They end up getting rid of Bledsoe, and I think this is the same situation. Romo's that Bledsoe, and Dak Scott's that Brady, and I really think that's legit. I mean, this team, he's had over 100 passing rating every single game besides his opening debut. I mean, that's his opening debut as a rookie. You know, I don't think the Packers defense will come close to stopping this offense, and it'll just be interesting, because if they do end up putting Romo in, I want to see how this team changes. I just want to see how that changes the chemistry. And I'm not denying Romo's not a good quarterback. He's a great quarterback. But, I mean, you got to let this kid play ball. He's got so much confidence in himself right now. He's winning you games. I mean, the Cowboys are 4-1. And I got them being 5-1 after this. I got the Cowboys 28-21 in this game.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I think I'm with you on the Cowboys. I'm a little worried only because the Packers defense against the run, I think, is best in the league right now. But I think that offensive line of the Cowboys is just too dominant. I don't think the Packers are going to be able to hang with that. I don't think the Packers have really matched up against any running backs of Ezekiel Elliott's caliber. So I do think he's able to run the ball. So I think the Cowboys do get this victory. It's surprising because if you had said that before the start of the season, that the Cowboys would have two rookies going into Lambeau, that you would think that there's no way they're going to win that game. But I think the Cowboys get this victory and go to 5-1 and send the Packers down to 3-2.
Yeah. And like you just said, the Cowboys offensive line completely negates that run defense on the Packers. But that'll be a fun matchup to watch. You got the best defensive line versus the best offensive line. But I mean, these kids are fast and speed kills, and none of these opposing defenses have film on these kids yet. And you just gotta let these kids roll. Jerry Jones just needs to look. He needs to look at the product in front of him. Cowboy fans are hungry. Redskin fans are hungry. There's a lot of teams out there that haven't even sniffed an NFC championship, let alone a Super Bowl, obviously. But you got to go with what's working. And I think that's how all sports is. No matter what product you have on the field, if it's winning, why change it? If it's not broken, you don't need to fix it. You know what I'm saying? Or however the saying goes. Sorry.
Exactly.
But you get what I mean. If it's not broken, why fix it? Yeah. Whatever. But you just got to let these guys play. And they're rolling. And this will be a big game. I mean, I want to hear Cowboys' reactions. I mean, if they end up beating this Packers team, and let's just say it's a blowout, I mean, do you really start thinking about letting Dak play it out? I mean, well, how much more does this kid have to prove? Because, I mean, I'll be eager to see if Romo comes back, they put him in, and then end up losing. If they go on like a two-game skid, I mean, I'll enjoy it as a Redskins fan. That'll be awesome. But, I just think this Cowboys team's strong right now.
Good deal. All right, man, I got your picks down. Hopefully you can go at least 500 again this week and keep up with what you've been doing for the last couple weeks here. I think I agree on most of your picks there. So once again, we agree, and that's kind of scary for me. But definitely get better, get some sleep, and hopefully you feel better by the time we do this podcast next week.
Yeah, Jeff, I appreciate it. If you don't mind, I'd like to just plug my Twitter real quick. NBA season's upon us. Preseason has just started. Giving out cash lines for you guys. If you guys give me a follow, I'm at DFSHANE26. That's DFSShane26 with one S. I've been killing it. I'm 4 out of 5 after tonight. I'm about 25 points up on the cash line tonight, looking at my FanDuel picks right now. Can make you guys some real good money. I'm excited for the season. I think I have a formula that works for cash games. So, Jeff, I want to thank you again. You really put my Twitter out there. I've gotten a lot of followers, all thanks to you and goingfor2.com. I do appreciate the love and support, but, we're killing NBA this season, guys. I want you guys to hop aboard. Once again, DFSHANE26. Give me a follow, guys. Appreciate it.
Definitely. I actually won some money in your lamp the other night. So, definitely some good stuff there, man. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Jeff, enjoy the games this weekend.
You too.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, welcome back. And we are here, as promised, with both of the twin brothers, Jason and Gerson, who were kind enough to cover the podcast last week and do a little bit of guest hosting for me. I appreciate that, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. A little sick, but I'll get better, I hope.
I'm doing good, too. I'm not a little girl like him, so I'm not sick.
Hey, I seem to remember you being on the podcast being sick, too, Gerson.
Hey, fuck out my back, Jeff. What are you doing here?
I'm just the host, man. I'm just here to facilitate. All right, I just want to mention real quick your Twitter handle there, Gerson. You're at DFS Roundtable 23. And Jason, what's your Twitter handle? You want to give that out or no?
I remember you told me it's not what you think it is, Jason.
Yeah, I think it's your name, the underscore, I believe, in the middle.
Yeah, I think it's at Aguirre, A-G-U-I-R-R-E, underscore, Jason. It's by me, and I like to post random stats and stuff, so it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Good deal, good deal. So definitely give them a follow, guys. We're running a little bit late today. Had some difficulties with the audio, so we're just going to jump right into the games here. We're looking at the main slate only. Recording this podcast on Wednesday night, so if there's any breaking news that happens over the next few days and you're wondering why we're just not talking about it, it's because we're recording this Wednesday night. We're going to ignore the Thursday game. So we're going to go ahead and look at the Sunday slate, start with quarterbacks here, and Jason, we'll start with you. Who are you looking at as your main sort of cash lineup quarterback for this week?
I think for cash, you kind of have to go to that New Orleans Panthers game. It's a high-scoring game. It's over under. It's 53 right now. And to me, you got to play Cam Newton. Cam Newton has rushing upside. He has passing upside. And, well, like they say, this is the course field of NFL. And here you have the New Orleans Saints defense. You know, they do like a high school varsity team out there. Maybe it's that.
Gerson, who you got? I know you're a big GPP player there. What quarterback are you looking at that's going to be low-owned but has a high upside?
Well, if we're going low-owned, I'm going to have to go with my boy Russell Wilson against the Atlanta Falcons at home. For some reason, I think Russell Wilson is always the ultimate low-owned quarterback. Nobody ever played him. And they're coming off a bye week. They're going to play Atlanta. Atlanta is just, to me, they have one good cornerback in Trufant. But other than that, I don't see him in anything. And what's his name? Baldwin, he's looking better. But I like Russell Wilson. I mean, the over and under is not bad. It's just I think he'll be the low-owned quarterback. And I wouldn't mind stacking him with Baldwin either. But everybody's going to stack him with Jimmy Graham. We already know that.
Yeah, agreed. I think I'm with you on Russell Wilson always being low-owned. I almost ignore him exclusively sometimes, and I don't know why I do that, but maybe it's because I'm a 49ers fan. I don't want to play any Seahawks, but I think you're right. I think he's definitely going to be low-owned. And, Jason, I'm surprised you went with Cam Newton when you mentioned that game. I thought for sure you were going to go with Drew Brees, because that's actually who I was looking at as my top play as quarterback is Drew Brees with that Panthers secondary being as bad as it was. I know they had a decent game against Winston this past weekend, but I think Brees at home, he's much better at home. That Panthers defense is not very good. They've got no pressure on the quarterback. I think Brees, they're coming off a bye week as well. I think they can be really good in that game, but like you said, with a very high over-under. What do y'all think of Drew Brees?
Oh, man, I like Drew Brees. But for Drew Brees, here's my thoughts on him. The reason why I like Cam Newton is because Cam Newton got, I think he got 37 points the last time they played him. And to me, that's just amazing. And Brees, he got, I believe, 23. So, I mean, you can pick and choose. I like them both. They're both good plays. I like them both. You can't go wrong, really.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton, could be the lower owned of the two. Honestly, I think everything I've heard from chat groups and everything else, they're all talking Brees. Everybody's kind of down on Cam Newton. So I think if you're going to go with a sort of contrarian play, which isn't always what you want to do in the cash game, I think Cam Newton might be the way to go. I think both quarterbacks end up being pretty good here. Let's go ahead and just jump down into some of these other quarterbacks here, some of these value quarterbacks. Jason, we'll start with you.
I don't get to throw in my opinion.
Oh, go ahead, Gerson. I'm sorry. You can throw it in there.
Just walk right over me, Jeff. Just walk right over me. So last year when these teams met in New Orleans, they combined for 79 points. Cam Newton and Drew Brees threw for 613 yards and 8 touchdowns. Cam Newton had five, and the Saints ran only the ball 13 times. The Panthers had a 24 handoff versus 41 passes. So basically, this game, you can't go wrong with either quarterback. I would consider more Drew Brees my cash game quarterback, and then Cam Newton my GPP quarterback, because Cam Newton, he has that rushing upside. So I like them both, and I think we're all pretty much on the spot with all those plays. So, yeah.
Man, Gerson brought the fire on that. Although that was nice.
I think he's just upset he's got to share the spotlight tonight with his brother. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some values here. We'll start with Jason. Some of these guys that you know that you might be looking at as a sort of low price point that you can sort of stack some of these higher price running backs and receivers. Who are you looking at this week?
I mean, you don't even have to think about it. I mean, like, it's Alex Smith. Alex Smith, you know, he's 6,800 on FanDuel. And, I mean, last year when he played at Oakland, he got 24 points. I mean, what more can you ask for? That's 3.8 value from his salary at 6,600. And, I mean, to me, I can easily see him getting that. The Raiders, I mean, they just can't defend the ball. They can't. I don't know what it is, and it hurts me, you know. Like, me and my brother, like, can't just, you won't, like, we yell at the TV so much when we're watching the Raiders game. And it's just like, we just give up on them. We're just like, all right, well, let's just hope our offense goes back out there towards.
Just got to go out.
So you got to go out here at 6,800.
All right, yeah, good deal. What about you, Gerson? You got someone besides Al Smith that you're looking at this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Marcus Mariota against the Browns. That matchup is easy peasy. I mean, the Browns just are horrible. It's okay. Here's the way I put it. Ryan Tannehill had a good game, and he freaking blew the ass. Tom Brady had a great game. He's a real good quarterback. But now we're going to Marcus Mariota, which a lot of people are like, oh, he doesn't have good weapons and whatnot. He doesn't need good weapons when you have Delanie Walker catching the ball down the middle and you got the, what's their name, the two-headed monster then. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry running the ball. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to run the ball, and that's what they did last week. He got four touchdowns in the red zone, basically. I mean, he got three passing touchdowns, and he only got like 180-plus yards, and he got a rushing touchdown. His dual threat.
A 60-yard run?
Was it a 60-yard run? But either way, I mean, the Browns just suck. I mean, these guys are horrible. I mean, they should be happy that the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland Cavaliers are good this year, because that's the only thing they look forward to watching on the weekends and weekdays.
Yeah, I'm with you on both those calls. I think I'm more towards Alex Smith than I am Mariota. Just I think from a consistency standpoint, I think Alex Smith is a little bit more consistent. I think Mariota has the higher upside. So I think if you're going to play one of these guys in a cash game, I think Alex Smith is the cash game play. Mariota is probably the GPP, which kind of works out. Because Jason, you're the cash game player, and Gerson, you're the GPP guy. So I actually don't have any other guys to add, you know, as far as a value. I'm actually on both guys. Alex Smith, I actually wrote up in my article tonight. Should be released either Thursday or Friday. He's my Hail Mary play of the week at quarterback. So I love to meet some Alex Smith this week on because of that Oakland defense. So I definitely agree with all those points y'all made. Let's go ahead and jump now into the running back. We've got, you know, three top guys here with Le'Veon Bell, DeMarco Murray, you just mentioned. We got LeSean McCoy. Ezekiel Elliott's also up over $8,000 now. Are we looking at any of these top guys this week, or is this a week that we're looking a little bit lower on running back? Jason, we'll start with you.
You know, I think this is a week where it's going to be hard to find value here and there for the running back. So I think you kind of have to pay up for cash games. To me, my top plays in cash game is LeSean McCoy. You know, he's a volume. He gets usage. I mean, I think the last three games he's got more and more snaps every game, more touches, and he's just a beast. I mean, No Watkins, no, who else is missing? I forget his name. I don't remember his name. But they, you know, they don't have anybody else to throw the ball to. They don't have anybody else to run the ball. And it's just all him, and he's getting usage. I'll take him at 8,200. I like him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think you're right. I think his touches have gone up in the last three games. You know, each game has gone up a little bit more because they don't have much else outside of him. And we know Rex Ryan, you know, loves to use his running backs. Who are you looking at, Gerson? Are you paying for one of these top guys? This, you know, LeSean McCoy or DeMarco Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott?
You know, since I'm a GPP player, I usually rotate my running back. I usually try to have four good running backs in GPP. But my favorite running back is LeSean McCoy. Like he said, Jason didn't add this, but it's a revenge game against Chip Kelly. He hates Chip Kelly. We all know that you don't need a you don't need Scooby-Doo to solve that mystery, but LeSean McCoy hates Chip Kelly, and he's going to want to go out there and perform and do great. The 49ers have given out four straight 100 yards to rushers. Fozzie Whitaker got 100 yards. Christine Michael got 106, two touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott got 138, one touchdown. David Johnson just tortured them for 157 yards and two touchdowns. David Johnson is legitimately the reason why Jeff didn't do the podcast last week. So I'm just saying. But I love LeSean McCoy. I'm not going to say that Le'Veon Bell isn't a great play because he is. But the thing is, the Miami Dolphins, they are one of the top red zone defense against the rush. But the thing is, the Dolphins are out there so much, and that's what the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do. They're going to be out there so much, they're just going to basically score a crap load of points against them. So I like Le'Veon Bell more on DraftKings than FanDuel, but I will play Le'Veon Bell on FanDuel too. But again, Dolphins aren't horrible against allowing a lot of yard versus running backs, so I like him. You did mention one player that makes an interesting point. You mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. The Packers are ranked among the top best defense against the running back. The only thing is, they haven't really faced anybody that great. And to be honest, the best running back they've faced is Adrian Peterson. And we already know how bad Adrian Peterson was struggling at the beginning of the season and stuff. So when they faced the Lions, the Eagles. And who else have they faced?
They just put the Jets. No, who did they just play last week? Giants. They played the Giants.
Giants. Yep.
And the Giants. You know, they don't. Those running backs don't scare me. They don't shout out, "Ooh, top tier running back." You know. So I honestly think Ezekiel Elliott makes the ultimate GPP player because I think a lot of people that are smart will say, "Oh, that's a top defense." But to me, I think that line and that's the game plan. They're going to try to keep Roger off the field. They're going to try to keep Green Bay off the field because they don't have anybody that can match their offense point per point. So they're going to try to run that ball, and that offensive line is the real deal.
Yeah, I'm with both of those. I'm with all those calls. I actually have LeSean McCoy as my top play at running back in my article coming out this week. Ezekiel Elliott, actually talked about him a little bit in the last segment. You know, same thing you mentioned. Green Bay hasn't really faced anybody. They are, you know, I think the top rushing defense, in the league right now, but they haven't really faced any good running backs yet. I think going into that game, you know, last week, the Cowboys versus the Bengals, I think Bengals were top seven versus the run, and we saw what Zeke did to them. He had a, you know, huge, huge breakout game there, so I'm not scared to play Zeke, and like you said, he'll probably be faded in a lot of contests because they see that, you know, good Green Bay, you know, defense, supposedly good Green Bay defense. So I think Zeke is definitely a good GPP play. Like I said, mentioned LeSean McCoy is probably my top play there. Let's go ahead and look at some of the lower price guys here. I think you mentioned Jason. There's not a lot of value. I think last week was a value week at running back. There was so much value that you couldn't ignore it. I think this is the opposite. I think there's not much value at all this week. But are there any diamonds in the roughs down here that you're looking at that's a little bit cheaper than some of those top guys?
I'm looking at Mark Ingram. I like Mark Ingram for cash games. I think he's only 6,800. Let me find him right now.
He's 6,700.
You know, and I mean, he gets his points and everything. It's weird, like he's not like flashy or anything, but they find ways to use them in the red zone. They find ways to use them in the backfield. And you know, Travis Cadet's not going to do much, and you know, it's all his. I know it's like weird because he's gone off to a slow start, and then he just has his good games. But, I mean, John Kuhn stole, like, 3 touchdowns from him the other day. So I'm just saying, like, he is the main guy there, and I like him, you know, at 6,700. And that game, again, is 53 over under. I'll take that any day.
That's a pretty good call there. Gerson, who you got for GPPs here?
For GPP, not a lot of people are going to be on him. So I really do like Christine Michael. He's just coming off a bye week. And he faced the New York Jets before that, so he didn't have the best game because obviously we know the Jets are a top-tier run defense. But he did get a receiving touchdown to save him from that week, to me, value, or help his value. But the week before that, he got 20 rushing attempts, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns against the 49ers, averaging 5.3 yards per carry. And he got 64% of the carries, touches. And then the week before that against the Rams, he got 60 yards, and he was averaging 6 yards per carry. So this week facing the Atlanta Falcons, which they're ranked among the worst, I think they're ranked 28th. Let's see real quick. They're ranked among the worst. So
I got them at the bottom 5 and giving up fantasy points. They're bottom 5.
Yeah, so their matchup is ranked 28th, so... Yeah, I love Christine Michael, 7,400. The Vegas over and under. It has that game pretty, well, I wouldn't call it like a favorable game for Christine Michael, but it's 6.5 because you know Atlanta. We got surprised last week against the Broncos, so we don't know what they can do, you know. But I think Seattle's home field is a little bit different. I think Seattle is one of the hardest places to play football at. So, Seattle favored this game by 6.5, so I think this could be a Christine Michael game, especially for Atlanta being such a poor run defense. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, Devontae Booker, well, Chris C.J. Anderson and the Broncos run game didn't do all that great. I'm like, you know, it's just, I think right now C.J. Anderson's not who he is or what I like. We'll touch on that another day, but I love Christine Michael in this matchup, so I'm going to pick him as my GPP running back low value, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Bet 70.
Yeah, I actually have him in my article as well. Sorry, go ahead. What's his price on FanDuel?
I think 7,400. I forgot to mention his price because I rambled off on. Sorry, guys. I love giving you guys stats, though.
So. Hey, you know, if I could throw in one more player, I want to throw in Jordan Howard.
That's a good call.
I mean, believe it or not, the Bears are a favorite, guys. You know, they're favorite against Jacksonville. Jacksonville is one of the faster-paced teams in the league. And with Porter, and Porter's going to be in there. Nobody tell me Cutler's going to be in there. I do not care. They are done with Cutler. Porter's going to be in there, and Jordan Howard gets all the usage. I mean, he got 23 points last week. The week before that, he got 14. You know, he's doing good. He's getting the yards, and no, he got 7.4 yards per attempt last week. The week before that, 4.8, and he's doing great. I mean, I like him. I think they're going to use him a lot. And Jacksonville Jaguars aren't that great of a team.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, at his price range, what was that?
Yeah, so I'll agree with you that he's definitely a good play. I think what is he on FanDuel? He's at 7,700. So yeah, so definitely a good play there. There is one guy that I wanted to throw in, and it's sort of going deep down into the depths here as far as running backs go. But it sort of depended on some injury news, and that's Giovanni Bernard. I think if Jeremy Hill is officially ruled out before this game, I think Gio could be good because I think the Bengals will be in full-on catch-up mode versus the Patriots. And, of course, he is their passing down back. So if he gets, you know, 80% of the workload in that backfield, I think he could be a good play. I think he's all the way down here at 5,700. So definitely a true value play, you know, very discounted rate there. But if he can get all the touches, he could definitely be viable. What do y'all think of Gio?
I like him. I think he's a great play for 5,700. That's a bargain. But I mean, we're all just praying that he'll sit out. I think he practiced today, so You know, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, we still got a couple more days before they actually confirm it, but we'll see.
Yeah, they confirmed Jeremy Hill practice on Wednesday, getting limited session. But he is battling with a chest, shoulder, and pectoral issue. So basically, anything that's what he uses mostly, his upper body, you know, yeah, to run people over. So I don't know what the Bengals will do. And that's the beautiful thing about this week. Actually, that's the ugly thing about this week, that there is no value. So when we talk about value, like really show, like really cheap value, that we're just going to be like, oh, hell yeah, that's going to help our rosters, you know? So if Jeremy Hill is out, Giovanni Bernard is a great call, Jeff. I was actually on him, too. I love that call.
All right, good deal. Some good stuff here. Let's go ahead and move into the wide receiver. And we got Antonio Brown. Of course, we all expected him to be up here. He's now just a shade under 10,000. I think he's officially 10,000 on DraftKings. We got Allen Robinson up here, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Odell Beckham. You know, receivers are so deep. You got so many top guys. You got mid-tier guys. You got low-tier guys. Jason, give me a couple guys that you're looking at for your cash game lineups.
I will tell you this, Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson at 8,600, I really do like him. He's getting targeted. And, you know, his last couple games, he's gotten better. You know, he had 10 targets last game, 11 before that. And, you know, he's getting his touchdowns. His yards aren't there yet, but I believe that will come against the Bears. I mean, we just saw T.Y. Hilton go for, like, what, 178 yards, 2 touchdowns, and, you know, 11 receptions or something like that. I think I read a stat that he only missed one catch in that whole game. I'm on the practice he got. It's incredible. So I like Allen Robinson. But it depends, like, if Devontae Davis covers him, it depends on that. But even then, I'm not really afraid. Not Devontae Davis. What's his name? It depends if some of the cornerbacks come back. My bad. Sorry about that. I was thinking a completely different game. So the Bears are getting healthier, but I don't know. It depends. We have to kind of follow that. But I'm not afraid of any Bears secondary, to be honest with you. I like Allen Robinson. He's one of my top cash game plays. Of course, you got to, you know, you can play Antonio Brown. I don't have to tell you that, you know. But 9,700, that's a pretty steep price. And, I mean, I will have him in my cash games for sure. But, you know, I got to find value elsewhere. I'm just saying, like, if you don't want to pay up for him and you want to just be rather playing Le'Veon Bell, then you can go a different way, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on Allen Robinson. I think he's my top play in my article as well. I love beast Allen Robinson this week. Antonio Brown, the only thing I'll say on Antonio Brown, I think he's always a good play. But I put a stat in my article last week about Ben Roethlisberger, his home road splits and how ridiculous it is. I think it's like 17 touchdowns versus 16 interceptions on the road over the last 2 years. And then I think at home, he's like 52 touchdowns and 13 interceptions, which is a ridiculous home road split. So I'd be a little bit worried about Antonio Brown on the road versus, you know, Miami, even in a good matchup. We don't know what to expect from Ben on the road. I think this might be a Le'Veon Bell type game. Gerson, who are you looking at for your GPP lineups?
You know, I really, for this week for GPP, it's really hard because, like we said, there's not a lot of value. So I think at wide receiver, that's where you're going to be trying to find those mid-tier wide receivers that you can find and roster, because to pay up for Antonio Brown, you're really digging yourself in a hole with, like, how much percentage of your salary is to your total roster. But I really love a lot of these mid-tier players. One of my favorite ones, it has to be T.Y. Hilton. And I know that the Texans' run pass defense is actually pretty good. It's not that bad. They're ranked among the top five. But T.Y. Hilton is the only player in the NFL with double-digit targets in every game so far. He's on pace for 112 catches, 1,622 yards, and 9 touchdowns. And they're really just – with no Moncrief there, and Philip Dorsett hasn't panned out to be the wide receiver everybody hoped to be, like, you know, to help out T.Y. Hilton. And he's just – getting open. He gets open, and the Andrew Luck is finding him. And I think I think this game overall could be a very sneaky game that could be like a 28-21 throwdown, you know, like it could be a high over and under. But I like T.Y. Hilton for GPP.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I love me some Hilton. I was actually on him last week as well. He was in my best lineup of the week this past weekend. So Hilton's definitely a good call. There's one guy that I want to point out. Again, more of the mid-tier, like you said, Gerson. I think this is a week where you're looking at the mid-tier receivers so that you can get those top-level running backs. But one guy that people might be down on because he didn't have a good game last week, and that's Jarvis Landry. Going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, obviously they're probably going to be in catch-up mode. Landry, his last week was the first week that he didn't get at least 10 targets. You know, in every game this season, he had at least 10 targets. He's got 10, 13, 12, 10. He only had 3 targets at Tennessee. I think with the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, probably going to be up big in this game. He can get, you know, 10, 12, 13 targets. And I think with that secondary that the Steelers have, I think Landry can definitely be a good call there at $6,900. What do y'all think of Landry as a good play?
I like it. I mean, it's like you said, people are probably going to be low on him because of last week's game. But that's like, that's random. It doesn't really happen. He always gets his target and his receptions. I mean, Brandon Marshall got 15 targets against them, and he did well last week. So I don't mind that. I like that call a whole lot.
Yeah, I love that call. I'm going to have quite a bit of Landry. Like I said, this is the week to play for, pay for mid-tier wide receivers. Unless, of course, Giovanni Bernard opens up value or some reason Fat Eddie Lacy rolls his ankle trying to, I don't know, get out of the car or something. And then you heard it from here. You heard it here first. I jinxed him. Boom. Open value right there on Sunday. But, you know, Jarvis Landry, he only got 3 targets last week. That was his lowest since September 7th, 2014. And I also snapped an 8-game streak with double-digit targets. So I can see a lot of people being – I always say a lot of people, but I mean those people that are kind of like newbies to DFS, and they just always be like, oh, reaching to buy us, he's just shitty. No, you forgive and forget and keep going. So I love that call, Jeff.
Exactly. The recency bias definitely lowers percentages of ownership each week. You have a guy who has one bad game, and no one wants to own him the next week. And it's, you know, the same with even season-long league. You know, those guys get added on waivers because of one big game. All right, so let's look at some of these true value plays. Are there any guys that are, like, sort of deep down here that are sort of diamonds in the rough that we like? Jason, we'll start with you.
Let's see. If we're going down there. I'll go with Gerson. I haven't looked that deep into I'm trying to pay up at wide receiver for cash teams. I'm not trying to find value.
All right, Gerson, start with you, Gerson. You got anybody that you want to mention?
Yeah, sorry. I'm laughing because a lot of people laughed at me last week when I said this guy. So I said Cameron Meredith last week, and I'm on him again this year. I'm not getting off the train, so I'm running the train, man. The guy is 6'3", runs a 4.4, and he looked like Terrell there, man. Like, watching the red zone, and he was getting open. He could have had 2 touchdowns, but Brian Hoyer threw the ball a little bit too far on one of the passes, and he knew it was his fault because he could have made that catch if he dove, but he didn't extend his arm. But he's a great athlete. He's a great player, and Brian Hoyer, for some reason, hates Alshon Jeffrey. I hate him because, you know, I just him. So, but Cameron Meredith, he's just 5,400. I mean, all you need really is 16 points, and it's not going to kill you if you need. But I mean, for cap game, he only needs about 11 points. I like Cameron Meredith. There's 2 more calls, but on my next call, I want everybody to like deeply take like. Don't judge me. Just don't judge me. Seriously. I like Tavon Austin this week. Tavon Austin is 5,700 versus Detroit. And a lot of people like Darius Slay, but the thing is, Tavon Austin, his market share is incredible. I mean, the guy, he played about 80% of their snaps, and he returns balls, and the Detroit Lions, is just, they don't me. And he gets 10, 8 target, 9 target, 12 targets, you know. So I like his target. And if he can get me against Detroit, which I have no faith in Detroit. I don't like the team. If he can get me to that, those value yards and stuff,
I like him. But, again, I also love him more on DraftKings, but I'm willing to take that risk on FanDuel, too.
All right, all good calls.
Okay, I left that out. Oh, my goodness. That was so hard for me to do.
Yeah, I found my guy. Sorry about that. He's more of a GPP player. Like I said, a cash game. I'm probably going to go down to, like, 6,900 to Jeremy Maclin. I like him against Oakland. You know, he's pretty cheap. And, you know, he's had some pretty good games against Oakland. I mean, his last game, he got 14. The game before that, he had 24 points. So he gets his point. That's a cheap price, you know, 6,900. If you really want to go cheaper, and I don't think you have to, I think you can kind of mix and match, find your values here and there. You can go down to Michael Thomas for the New Orleans Saints. And
that's the guy I was going to call out, Michael Thomas.
5,400, he's a bargain. I mean, he's been getting targeted more and more. It seems like he's getting more comfortable in that offense, too. I mean, the last time he got targeted 9 times. The time before that, I forget who was out. Willie Snead was out, and he got targeted 11 times. And, I mean, he had a good game that game. So, I mean, he's getting his target. And the good thing is he goes down the middle, and he gets red zone targets, too. So he's not afraid to mix up. So, and, you know, they're looking for him in the red zone, so I like that, you know. So I think he could be sneaky upside. And, again, I hate to say this. I feel like we're just repeating it. But if you go back to that game, you know, 53 over under, and, you know, they're just going to throw and try and keep up with Carolina. It's just going to be a fast-paced game. If you don't target this game, you just don't like money.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought up Michael Thomas. He's a guy I had circled on my list that I was going to bring up because you're right. I mean, he's been getting the targets. He led the team in targets over the last 2 weeks. You know, one of those weeks they didn't have Willie Snead, but even last, you know, the last game they played, you know, they had Snead available. He still led the league in led the team in targets. So I think he's definitely a good play. He is one of their best red zone threats as well. Like you mentioned, he's got a receiving touchdown in both of the last two games. So he's definitely down there, that someone that you can put in your lineup as a value and be able to pay for some of those big name receivers or those big name running backs. All right, let's jump into the black hole that is tight end now. Tight ends typically are...
Hold on.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hold on, I want to mention one thing on this podcast. I think we should mention a couple things with because we have GPP plays, right? And wide receiver, some of the most important things is correlations, right? We want to make sure we stack the right games, we stack in the right way. I think this week's best correlations is... Kelvin Benjamin, Willie Snead, or Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks. You can mix and match, or you can play all three. I mean, week one, we had Snead, Cook, and Snead, Cook, and Breeze, and, I mean, they won the Millie Maker, I think, you know, and it's just
funny. It was Cooper, the Raiders. The Raiders, it was the Raiders and Norman Tank.
Games, right? These high-scoring games, you're gonna get points from the other side and this side. It's called push and pull, and you know they're gonna push it that way, and then you're gonna pull it back, and the game's just gonna go back and forth. It's gonna be a shootout. That's the game you want to target as a correlation play. You're gonna mix and match, and I just like it a lot, and that's something I have in my GPPs. And you know you can stack, and you can even throw Greg Olsen in there as you said. We're gonna get tight ends, and Greg Olsen is one of the top tier players for tight end. He's pricey, but you know, it's like I said, you can stack this whole game and just get a lot of points out of it.
Yeah, I agree with Jason. I mean, go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I have to agree with Jason. One of the top things I do for my GPPs, especially in tournament, I like to correlate my wide receiver one or wide receiver two. Or, you know, tight end. I think some of my top ones this week, my number one probably going to be Greg Olsen, Brandon Cook. And he's 7,500. I think Greg Olsen's 8,100. You know, that's pretty cheap. And if you correlate him with Cam Newton as a quarterback one, the stack adds up to about $24,500. After that, I like Antonio Brown, Jarvis Landry, number two. And then Julian Edelman, AJ Green. And then if you're playing that Monday night game, Larry Fitzgerald, Brandon Marshall is not a bad one. But One of the sneakier ones that I like is T.Y. Hilton and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't think a lot of people will be on DeAndre Hopkins because they'll think, oh, Vontae Davis is a great cornerback, which he is, don't get me wrong. But if that, let's say the Houston and Indianapolis has a big shootout, and DeAndre Hopkins gets 2 touchdowns and 100 yards, and then T.Y. Hilton gets 170 yards and 1 touchdown, those two wide receivers right there just gave you about 50 points. And whatever quarterback you stack them with, whether it's Osweiler or Andrew Luck, you know, that's going to give you about 80 points just automatically on your roster. And I would love nothing more than 80 points from three players on my FanDuel roster. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, not only that, but I think those guys would be low-owned because, you know, Hopkins hasn't been what everyone expected him to be coming into the season, myself included. I actually had him ranked number 2 overall as far as, you know, fantasy football goes, and he hasn't really done what I expected him to do. And then T.Y. Hilton, he'll probably be high-owned just because of his game last week, but I think people were looking at his weeks before where he wasn't the big, you know, big play receiver that he was last year. So I think those two receivers would be low owned, and I think if they do go off and you own both of them, you're going to be in good shape.
Don't be sad, Jeff. Don't be sad. DeAndre Hopkins has had some of the toughest matchups this year. I'm saying this right now. If you own him and if you have season long team, go buy low on him because he's going to take off. So Jeff, it's okay. It's okay, buddy. Don't worry. You'll be okay.
All right, now let's go ahead and jump into the tight end here. Of course, we already mentioned we got Greg Olsen up here. We got Rob Gronkowski, of course, is a top tight end. Jordan Reed looks like he might be out this week with a concussion. I think it's like his 6th or 7th concussion in his career. So who knows how much longer he's even going to be able to play football, but, you know, he might be out this week. Jimmy Graham, you know, we mentioned him earlier as a potential stack with Russell Wilson. Delanie Walker, and then you got Bennett, and then I think he starts to fall off after that. Are we paying up at tight end this week? I know, Gerson, you've said before in the podcast you don't pay up at tight end. Jason, what are your thoughts? Do you pay up at tight end for cash games?
Man, this is the week to pay up. I mean, you got Delanie Walker against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're amazing against tight end. Not, I mean, they allowed 3 touchdowns to Bennett last week. I mean, they just can't defend tight ends at all. I mean, anybody they play, they allow touchdowns to, and yards and everything. And Delanie Walker, he's the only weapon there. And you know that Mariota's going to target him. I mean, last game he got 8 targets. The game before that, he got 8 targets. The game before that, he got 6 targets. I mean, he gets targeted. And he's going to get his touchdowns, and he gets red zone looks, too. So I don't mind him. I like Delanie Walker. I'm going to try and fit him in my cash games. If not, you know, you can go other ways, but Delanie Walker is my top play in cash games.
All right. Gerson, who you got for GPPs?
Because I usually always say don't pay up for tight end, but I think this is the week where I am going to pay up for a tight end on GPP because I don't like any of the lower value tight ends. There's only one tight end I like at lower value, and that's Charles Clay. But other than that, I could take a look at Kobe Fleener at 5,600, but that's really kind of pushing my limit, you know. But I think I'm going to go to, I mentioned him earlier on, I'm going to Jimmy Graham at 5,900 against the Atlanta Falcons. They're ranked among the worst, if not the worst, I believe.
Yeah, they're still the worst. End. Yep, they're still the worst. They were worse last week, yeah. And okay. They're still the worst.
Okay, good. Thank God. But I love Jimmy Graham. The thing people got to realize that Jimmy is going to be highly owned this week because everybody's been talking about him. Everybody said, oh, I love Jimmy, this and that. But if you pair him up with Russell Wilson won't be highly owned. I don't think so, at least. But I like Jimmy Graham this week. He's getting targeted. He's done great the last few games. And let's see real quick. I just want to make sure this is correct because, of course, I don't like to give you guys out bad info. But, yeah, Atlanta's ranked 31 among the worst. He got six receptions, 113 yards against the New York Jets. He got 6 receptions against, and 100 yards and 1 touchdown against San Francisco. Those kind of remind me of, like, the old Jimmy Graham, you know. He's getting targeted 9-8. I think Jimmy Graham off a bye week, and he has a little bit more time to recover from that. Is it the patella that he injured? I can't remember what he injured, Achilles. But
patella, I think you're right.
It just
But it's just people don't realize how much a bye week can really help you get together with your team after, you know, whatever, first four games, five games. I mean, whatever games you played, you can kind of get everything together during practices and stuff. So I think Seattle is going to come out here and punch the Atlanta Falcons in the mouth. And basically, you know, they're going to win this game pretty good.
All right. All right. Good deal. Now, I know we said we're paying up at tight end this week. Are there any guys that you're putting in your lineups that, you know, are a little bit lower price than you like? Jason, we'll start with you.
Travis Kelce. I mean, he's a little cheaper. He's $400 cheaper. So,
I think Jeff is looking for a guy under $6,000, right, Jeff?
Yeah, if there is one, but if there's not one, I mean, Kelsey's a good one. Talk about Kelce a little bit, because not everybody's going to be on Kelce.
I mean, all right, let me go all the way down. And here, let's see, maybe Dennis Pitta with the questionable Smith. Smith is questionable, and if he's out, Pitta's going to get targets.
And, yeah, I like that call. I like that call.
I mean, he's playing the New York Giants, and the Giants, I mean, oh, my gosh. They're just so fresh. They're so disappointing. I'm so mad at the Giants. you know, so I guess Dennis Pitta, if you want to go down and you want to pay, let me see, Pitta's price range is $5,400. I mean, I don't mind Pitta. I like him. But I'm going to play him in GPP in the cash game.
All right, Gerson, now you'd mentioned earlier your low-price guy is Charles Clay. Tell us about Charles Clay a little bit.
Yeah, Charles Clay, he just makes a very interesting play because I love him on DraftKings a lot because he's really cheap. He's $2,900, so he's probably going to be my DraftKings GPP. I know we don't do DraftKings here, but just throwing it out there. But, I mean, the last couple weeks, I mean, against the L.A. Rams, he got 73 yards and five reception. I mean, that's what you're looking for in a tight end, just basically get you a good solid point. And he plays so much. He plays almost, he played 90%, 90%. He averaging about 90% of the, you know, plays out there. He basically plays all the plays at tight end. And the 49ers aren't, well, sorry, Jeff. I know I always feel like I always bash on your team. But
go ahead, man. It's
I don't
been
mean
done.
To. It's just they rank 23rd among versus the tight end. So they're not that great of a tight end team to defend. And I think, basically, Robert Woods, if he doesn't start catching balls, that, Tyrod Taylor will look to Charles Clay. So I like Charles Clay at 5,300.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, too. I think those are the value tight ends you want to look at. There is one that I think people won't be looking at because he didn't have a good game last week coming off an injury. He was very highly owned, let a lot of people down, and that's Zach Ertz. Going to Washington, Washington's defense is just in shambles right now. Zach Ertz, you know, before he went down, you know, even towards the end of last year, had become a target monster in that offense. He had 7 targets in his first game of the season before he got hurt. He only had 3 in Detroit last week, but that whole Eagles offense sort of struggled a little bit. I don't see them struggling against the Washington Redskins, so I think Zach Ertz could be a potential low-owned tight end sitting down here at $5,400. What do y'all think of Ertz?
Yeah, I love that.
Wow, you are right. I'm looking at it right now. And I think he played Washington last year. He got 16 points against them, 17 targets, like you said. And then, I mean, the game before that, the team against Arizona, and he got 13 targets. He just targeted a lot. My worry is the Kings of quarterbacks, but Wentz is looking for him, and he's been looking for tight ends this whole year. So I actually like that call. I'm going to add him to my list.
All right, Gerson, you want to chime in?
Yeah, Zach Ertz, you know, a lot of people are going to be off to him because, like we said, recency bias, man. People are like, they're just haters, man. Oh, he did shitty. He screwed me over. You need to get over it. That's the bottom line, to give and forget. Even if, I mean, what you did with your girlfriend, I mean, sometimes they're not forgive and forget, but in DFS, you better learn how to do it, you know?
It took me a day, okay? It took me one day.
Get over it. Leave me alone.
But his usage was there. Zach Ertz on his last game, he played 82.5% of the snap, ran routes on 32 of Carson Wentz's 36 dropbacks, but he only got 3 targets. Whoopie-doo, you know? He was there. It's just, you know, when it comes to a rookie quarterback, people got to realize this. Sometimes they're in the game and they don't see everything. He was spreading the ball out. Maybe his coach is going to tell him, hey, Zach was open. We should get him more involved, da-da-da, you know. He's a rookie, you know. But I like that call, Jeff. Good call.
All right. Now we go, of course, at goingfor2.com, we always go for two, so we don't look at kickers. So we're going to go look at the defenses for this week. Looks like the top price defense this week is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got the Seahawks up there, Buffalo Bills. Panthers somehow are still ranked up towards the top, which I'm not really sure how that works out. Where are we going with defense this week in cash games, Jason?
You have a couple options, to be honest with you. What everybody's talking about from what I'm hearing on Twitter, through chat, through everything, it looks like a lot of people really do like that Buffalo Bills defense. I don't mind the Bills. I think they're okay. They've been playing a lot better. The thing is, with Kaepernick in there, you know, I think they're going to swing the ball more. They're going to go down the field more. And they're going to – I mean, they've already been a fast-paced team. But that's kind of what's, like, kind of keeps on me – like, bring me back to the Buffalo Bills is – the fact that the 49ers are a fast-paced team. And, you know, like, that means more possessions for the 49ers. That means more chances for sacks, you know, interceptions, pick sixes. And, you know, the Bills can do that. I mean, they're a solid defense. They're playing better ever since they fired that offensive coordinator. And, you know, they're controlling the game more. So I don't mind the Bills defense for cash. And, yeah, their price is $4,800. I mean, I don't know if I'm paying for the Patriots. I mean, it's not Patriots, the Steelers. The Steelers don't really get a lot of turnovers. Like, you know, I understand it's the Miami Dolphins, but they just don't get a lot of turnovers. They don't get a lot of sacks either. So I'm looking for sacks, interceptions, and, you know, like, and favorites, too. And, you know, Vegas has a favorite. The Bills a favorite by 7.5. Defense.
Kirsten, who you got for your GPPs?
Well, I'm going to keep it pretty simple. Tennessee Titans like to run the ball, keep the pace, and play defense. And I know a lot of people think the Tennessee Titans suck, but they're actually not bad. I mean, they met value last week, and I think they can do it against Cleveland. I don't even know if Kessler can play. I don't know the update on that. But I like Tennessee Titans.
All right. Yeah, I think those are the plays I think that I'm looking at as well. I don't really have anything to add to those. I think those are all good calls. Only one I might consider, just because they've been sort of a hot defense lately, and that's the L.A. Rams going to Detroit. Detroit has not really been that great of an offense, but even that's sort of risky with the Rams because they're not a great offense either, so who knows what could happen. So that would be the only one I would throw into the mix, but I think I'm all over the Bills. I like the Titans because they are playing the Cleveland Browns. And I'm not really sure why the Pittsburgh Steelers are ranked as high as they are, because you're right, Jason, they don't get turnovers. They don't really get a lot of sacks. They play good defense, but they're not getting the things that we need as DFS players to get us points, because they're not going to hold every team to 0 points every game, so you're not going to get the point, you know, the points, so to speak, for DFS. But, yeah, I don't know why they're priced so high. So I love the Bills, and I like the Titans as well, so good call on both of those guys. All right, I think that pretty much wraps everything up, guys. I want to thank both of you for coming on the podcast. Gerson, what's that Twitter handle again? Gerson, you still there? Jason, are you still there?
Oh, you know, Gerson probably fell asleep. You know how he is. He's an old man. He's older than me by 55 minutes.
55 minutes.
Yeah, I'm still here. My Twitter handle is, Aguirre, A-G-U-I-R-R-E, _ Jason. You can find me there. I have my, like, I don't know what you call it, but it's Kid DFS. That's my username on everything, you know, FanDuel,
DraftKings, and you know, like, you can find me just on Twitter. You know, I like it. It's fun. I think Twitter is so underutilized by a lot of people in the DFS industry. You know, like, I think it should be used more often.
I agree. It's a place where you can get instant news. I think there's been times where I'm watching a game and, you know, you find out that a certain player has gone to the locker room, you know, from Twitter before you hear it on the broadcast. So it's, you know, it's a good thing to follow as far as that goes. You get the breaking news from the beat reporters before anybody else gets it, because it's very simple to just pick up the phone, send a tweet out, and then you're done. You know, so I think it's a very good place to get news. You got a lot of DFS players that go on there that tweet out some of their stuff, so I think it's definitely a good source to have. Of course, y'all guys can follow me at JeffLambert77. I get that out every podcast, so definitely give me a follow. Give Jason a follow. Gerson, I don't know if he ever came back to the podcast or not. I think he may have fallen asleep.
Yeah, I'm here. Just, I thought I dropped my beer, so I was trying to grab it. So I was like, oh, crap. But I was like, damn it. But, no, I got it. GFS Roundtable 23. Give me a shout-out. I mean, I'm going to do a live video on my Facebook group. I usually do a live Facebook group and answer questions and comments and anything you guys want for fantasy football or DFS. But just give me an ad or shout-out, and I post a lot of stuff on my Twitter, like interesting facts for the week. I really, I'm a big fan of posting things that people can find useful for their DFS stuff for the week.
Give us that that Facebook group name, Gerson, so they can find you in the Facebook group.
Yeah, just type in the DFS Roundtable, and they're going to be the first one up. I mean, we have a lot of people in there, and we talk a lot, and we try to give out people just help, you know. We do so many things there, but yeah, the DFS Roundtable.
All right. Good deal, guys. Glad to have you on, and good luck this weekend. I'm sure I'll be talking to the both of you over the next few days, getting our lineups finalized. But good luck this weekend.
You too, man.
All right. Later, buddy.